We really don't have anything comparable in this country to this annual appearance by Vladimir Putin. Describe the scene for us there.
Well, you know, it's called the big press conference here, and for a reason. It's promoted on all the channels for weeks. You have hundreds of journalists clamoring to get their chance to ask the president a question. Media run countdown clocks only to cut live at the stroke of noon. Never mind if Putin is running late. Once it starts, it goes for hours. And Putin, you know, he usually makes a point of taking a few more challenging questions from foreign correspondents, which he usually bats away. But most queries come from Russian journalists, many of them from smaller regional outlets. So the questions tend to be a bit soft or bring Putin's attention to local problems and certainly give him a chance to play the benevolent czar by solving them. Now, I should add that COVID has switched things up a bit. If last year's event was online because of the pandemic, this time it's a smaller format, just 500 journalists, worth adding that all of them had to pass 3 negative PCR tests just to get anywhere near the Russian leader.
Huh, so COVID, one issue, but obviously the other big topic, at least from our perspective in the Western Hemisphere, would have to be Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly what the international press is looking for and hints of what Putin has in mind next for this crisis. This comes, of course, as Russia's demanding from the U.S. and NATO security guarantees, beginning with an end to NATO's expansion to Russia's borders and ending, really, with a redo of the post-Cold War world order. And there's been a lot of noise out of Russia recently in terms of just how far it's willing to go to prevent what it claims is an existential threat to its security. You know, is Russia really willing to go to war over this? And today Putin insisted Russia wasn't threatening anyone, as before he's made this case before. He said that it was NATO coming towards Russia's borders, not the other way around. But he added Russia had laid out its demands as plainly as it could. So you hear Putin saying the ball's in their court, in the U.S.'s court, and we're waiting for their answer. And he added he was on the whole pleased, though, to see that the U.S. and Russia would meet in Geneva after the new year to discuss these security concerns. So perhaps a positive sign for diplomacy, even if, of course, the fundamental differences remain.
Mm. Charles, what does Vladimir Putin get out of this event that goes on for so long?
Yeah, it's part of his kind of carefully staged, managed image as father of the nation. You know, he's in control of everything. We mentioned the length of the event. Well, it showcases Putin's stamina. You know, here he is batting questions for 3-4 hours. They've even created a kind of meta media event where one of the big intrigues here is how long he'll talk. You know, will he break his record of 4 hours and 40 minutes? And, you know, at least in past years, you also see the media falling over themselves to ask the Russian leader a question, which kind of lends a certain rock star persona. But most importantly, the press conference allows Putin to show Russians not only is he this global figure who can kind of hit back at the West on the global stage, he's also in command of things much closer to home, like, you know, wheat harvests, milk production levels, trucking tariffs, you know, you name it. In other words, it's kind of designed to show Putin unmatched command of the issues. And in that sense, it's, of course, theater, but it's instructive theater. And even if this year everyone is looking at it for a hint at how he plans to stage manage the crisis in Ukraine.